Welcome to the Audit 15 Fun Podcast. My goal with this podcast is to bring relevant internal audit topics to the table at least every 15 days. Today, I have the honor to have as my guest Aziz Fataliev. He is the IAA president in Azerbaijan, Yevgenia Rosova, IAA president in Kazakhstan, and Mohammad Khatab, senior internal auditor based in the UAE. Welcome all to the podcast. It's an honor to have you on. And the topic of today is going to be about reporting structure. And Aziz and Mohammad, you guys have a little bit of a different perspective there. So whoever's ready to go first, I'll let one of you give your perspective on how that reporting structure for an internal audit department should look like.
Let me give you some brief information on our local legislation. Law on banks in Azerbaijan and standards on corporate governance in banking sector. There is no another structure but audit committee that internal audit should report to. My opinion is not based on this local legislation, actually, but I'm working in this situation and I think it's comfortable now. Why I think that it's not good to report to senior management? For sure, we're talking about administrative reporting. Absolutely. But anyways, first question is about the distinction, the definition of the administrative reporting. From my point of view, it hasn't been defined clearly enough. What does it mean? We always say here, read about day-to-day activities. What are they? What is it like to report to the CFO or CEO? Well, the internal audit standards, its current version or its new version, says about recommendations to report to CEO. Well, it's better than others, I understand, but it's only recommendation. And even CEO, from my point of view, it's a risk enough for our independence and objectivity. Because when the lines are blurred and we don't understand clearly what is it, the reporting itself, those who we are reporting to might misuse this situation. It's an opportunity for resource limitations for us, for scope limitations. And as a result, to our independence, it affect our independence and objectivity. New standards say that they give some examples in the considerations for implementation. Approving human resources issues and budgets. Approving CEE's expenses. It's all about administrative reporting. Well, just imagine that CEO, not another one, just CEO, approves our budgets. I think it's not comfortable enough for internal audit to depend on those approvals. From the point of view of management members, plenty of service provided in USA has shown that in plenty of cases, internal auditing, administrative reporting to CFO, chief financial officers. And that's, for me, it's absolutely, I don't know, just impossible, because we must review everything. And the financial activities are one of the most important, not most important, but the activities that we are reviewing all the way. And the reporting, I think it damages our independence.
So it's an invitation for a scope and resource limitation. Mohammad, I know that you have some firsthand experience with that. I know we're not going to get into the details, but curious to hear your perspective there and expanding on some of the points that Aziz brought up.
Hey, John, Evgenia and Aziz. Let me start with a quick story of a friend of mine. I achieved an executive for one of the mid-sized companies. And after one of the assurance assignments, you know, and reporting to the audit committee and board, you know, the audit committee invited the CEO and discussed some of the significant points with them. This is not a big issue, you know, this is the normal process, you can say, but the issue of what came later, you know. Later on, he faced, well, you can say, an attention problem. with the CEO for around two months, maybe no talking, no meetings, you know, no time for the regular meetings, which they have time for before the promotions, you know, which were planned for one or two of the staff, both on hold. After a long time, my friend tries to sit with him and clarify that the internal audit rule is not only about making consulting. Our rule, you know, Bosch has to sometimes have to make assurance. And after long discussion, he said a statement very, very, you know, experienced for what we are saying or what we are trying to say. That he told him that, let's try to tone down your findings, you know, and focus on consulting. Okay, this is what the final results of the meeting can say. My question, you know, to Evgenia or anyone who's supporting the internal audit being administrative reporting for the CEO or the CFO or whatever, you know, from the management side, when the management holds the power of rewarding, the power of appraising the influence or the attention power, don't you think that this will affect objectivity and independence?
That's a really good question. The thing is that what I hear from you, Mohammed, is that we are not dealing with the issue with the reporting line. We are rather dealing with the abuse of power, to be honest. And let me try to get here. Because first of all, I hear the CEO attempted to use the administrative reporting line that should be in there to basically influence the functional reporting line. And the functional reporting line is exactly the scoping, the focus of work, etc. So this, in this case, it's not administrative line at all. It's a CEO intervening in the line of what should be decided by the board of directors and influenced by them. But I know really that case of disagreement with the CEO on the scope of work, on the findings, etc. Quite a lot of our colleagues are losing their jobs because CEOs have a lot of influence on the board. So I wouldn't argue here. And I think that part of this, resolving this issue, is not eliminating the reporting line to the CEO, but rather communication skills and setting the proper understanding of what internal audit is there to do, to set the ground for the proper interaction and cooperation. And this is exactly what is expected from us when we are dealing with the CEOs. In terms of the administrative reporting, I'm a big supporter of the fact that it should be CEO and CEO only. And for the following reasons. First of all, what is administrative reporting, as it is asked? For me, this is something that allows us to integrate in the organizational structure in terms of the things like administration of our work, like accounting support, HR support, purchases, like when we need a computer, we don't need to go ourselves, budget, find the computer, buy the computer, install the computer, set the computer. Because this is done through the fact that we are provided support. Because reporting is not only when we do something for someone. The proper organizational structure, when you report to someone, provides you not only with the liability to tell something or do something for someone, it also provides them the liability to support you, to create you the working conditions you need to do your job. So in this case, it's providing us the support for all of our operations so that we don't need to duplicate all the corporate functions inside this internal audit function. Secondly, what it does, it provides you access and full use of the corporate communication channels. If you have some disagreement, this is your first route to resolve it. It's via the director of the department, and if you need to escalate through the CEO, like access to the information issues, some misunderstanding debates, etc. So you can challenge this without going through the board. You can revert through the CEO. And it's really has to be CEO because, you know, CFO, etc., it's different functions that report to CEO. And this is the only bundle of nerve where everything is consolidated at the CEO position. So I'm not challenging any other roles. I'm not only in support of the CEO. Moreover, the thing is that, again, liability from this the ones you're reporting to is they are getting more interested in what you do. Yes, so they are provided with a liability to pay attention, more attention to your work. They are provided with a liability to some liability to support. I'm not talking about, at the moment, about abuse of power rules, okay? We are integrating this, and for me, this is an administrative support. Moreover, one more thing here is that through this administrative reporting, we are becoming subject to the general corporate policies on the labor discipline, internal reporting for submitting the documentation to the accounting, for their processing, yes, like after our business trips, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing is, for me, this is also a positive thing, because we as internal auditors, we should be the role models for organizations. And we cannot really morally criticize someone for non-compliance if we don't comply ourselves. And being the subject to those policies, we can role model to everyone how they should be compliant with those. So this is also like, you know, the channel to influence the operations of the company. Because if I do this, why can't you do this? Yes? So for me, this is one more positive aspect of reporting to the CEO through this. So instead of, you know, making the comments and challenging people, they're just saying, do as I do and do better than I do. So this is one more thing. Functional reporting, CEO is, it's none of their business unless they're asking for more work done. They may ask for that. We may challenge that. We may discuss this with the board. But I fully support that they should be having this right, because there is always something there on hand, and they have some issues that they may need help. And we are there based on the recent developments. We are there to cooperate and support. So also good thing, we have the channel. I not once, not twice used this administrative reporting channel when I needed to discuss something with the CEO. I have an urgent finding that needs to be addressed, not when I issue the report in 2 or 3 weeks, but I need this to be addressed now. So I asked for the appointment with the CEO. I normally got it like, you know, at maximum 3 hours. So I go in there, explain everything. And, you know, basically the wheels are in motion by the time I'm out of the office. The relevant people are involved and it's working. So this here, abuse of power situation, I would say that it's maybe the misunderstanding from the side of the board. It may be miscommunication. It may be, yes, negative attitude. We don't need it. Something that I would challenge and suspect possible fraud, but, you know, increase at least my fraud risk radar in the situation. Communication. We need to understand corporate politics. We need to understand sensitive issues and try to resolve and communicate. So I think this can be addressed.
Evgenia, why do we need to call it reporting line if we are talking about the communication? Why isn't it a communication line? We can do it all by communication line, but it's about approvals. Reporting line is about approvals. We must obey, we must be aligned with our policies, absolutely, totally. And we are humans, I understand. If we have no control, I'm sure that we'll misuse this situation. I'm sure that I will. Yes, there must be some structure that is controlling us, but not approving our activities. Some structure that can inform needed sides, I don't know, board, committee, CEO, anyone, whatever, whoever. They inform that internal audit activity function department is doing something wrong. Yes, sure. They must, and we must obey, and we must role model, and we must be, I don't know, angels. Okay, I understand it. But why should we report to CEO administratively? It's about approval. Let's change the wording, because when CEO, I am a CEO, for example, when I know, and even worse, I'm a CFO, when I know that this guy is reporting to me, it means that I make some decisions. I make approvals about his activities, her activities. So I'm not talking about abuse of the power. No, if we approve your budget or your expenses, we will not approve, or we start to limit those resources, and it will affect my activities, definitely.
Okay.
My opinion.
I have
one more words. Go ahead, if I can, Joan. Yeah, I liked when Evgenia said that, you know, for me, okay, for me. Yeah, she talked about the administrative reporting for her, you know, from her perspective. So the point here that, you know, the biggest issue here that in the standards or any formula or criteria or standard describe exactly what is administrative reporting means and what are the criteria we can vote. There is big inherent risk here that we leave it for the mentality or the character or the maturity level of the CEO. So in the same organization with the same situated executive, maybe CEOs come and you'll understand our role and you will support us, you know. And after 1 year or 2 years, another CEO, he will come with a different mentality, you know, with a different experience about the internal audit, who will limit our resources, as you said. So why we leave the internal audit or the profession for this judgmental issues, you know, that's it.
Actually, Mohammed, then this turns our whole debate in the completely new direction. Both what you and Aziz say is not about the elimination of the reporting line, is rather on the fact that we need to raise the issue with IAE globally in the standard setting team in particular, that the administrative reporting line has to be clearly defined what is expected with the proper caveats, limitations, and implications. So we need to communicate with the team and make this, you know, clear. What are the purposes and the limitations and the definitions of what is administrative reporting? I don't argue with that because, to say the truth, there are a lot of terms that I think are missing the proper definition. And I already had some debate because on some of those with the respective team, because they were introducing some terms in there that went before. And for them, they were clear, though they couldn't even explain this to me when I asked. So why not? I would fully support if you raise this question, please.
I have many, many more questions now than answers. Which is good. So Aziz and Mohammed, you guys kind of touched on the point there, last point that you touched as well, Yevgenia. So to you, Aziz, reporting line is about approvals. And then my question to you, what kind of approvals are you talking about? Compensation, promotions, is that the type of approvals that you're talking about?
It might be.
Okay.
Yes. Again, distinctions. Absolutely agree with Evgenia. We need clear definition of what we're talking about, the administrative reporting. From my point of view, not reporting, I don't like that word, really. You know, the words are important. We understand it as internal auditors. We always trying to change wording, not to be too stringent, not to be abusive and so on, to be in good relationship with the stakeholders. So let's change this approach. And yes, clearly define what is the functional administrative reporting. And you know, my concerns are with new standards, actually, because we have some examples there in considerations for implementation. I think it's a third domain about the governance, where it gives some examples and it says, I just can't say it by heart, but something like approving of human resources, internal audit, human resources issues and budgets, approving chief audit executive's expenses and something else. I think there are three examples. Oh, budget.
I agree. It's too big.
It's a big word, too big word. And compensation is within the budget.
Okay.
That's it.
I agree. On the budget, okay. I fully agree. Budget should be the BOD for me.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So going back to what Mohammed asked then, and what you guys are kind of bringing up here, define exactly what does administrative reporting means, right? So I think we're all in agreement here that that's we need to be on the same page regarding that. I do want to go back to one point that Yevgenia brought at the beginning of when she was first responding to what you guys brought up, that in her view, the reason why we need to have the administrative reporting to the CEO, in her view, to the CEO, is that we're integrated into the organization. It provides access to corporate communication channels. So my question to Aziz and Muhammad, so we are silo enough as it is sometimes, right? If we have a completely different reporting structure and we're only reporting to the board and having the approvals and of compensation, budget, scope, or whatever it is that we define what the reporting needs to be, wouldn't that create even more of a silo for internal audit?
The main issue here that we want internal auditors to practice their role and do their work without any interference from the management or from the CEO or from the CFO. So this is the main issue. And if, when it comes in terms of financial reporting, no debate, right? No debate. All of us agree that financial reporting should be for to the audit committee or, you know, different level, we can say. So the main reason for this, that we want them to do their work independently and objectively. So whatever, I like also when we were talking about the administrative, Yevgenia said very good point, you know, he said, talked about communication. So if we are talking about communication, why we are relating it to administrative report, why you are calling it as administrator. And Aziz talked also about the standards that in the new standards, even, you know, we talked about the approving the budget, you know, and the human resources, approving the two audit executive expenses and the reviewing the performance of the two audit executives. So again, we want whatever guarantee we can both as the IAA to keep the internal audit, you know, interrelated, you know, and connected with the organization and with the teams. It's fine, we can both it, but why administrative reporting? This is the issue.
Let me answer, John, your question. I think we are isolated. It's not about reporting line, actually. We're isolated when we are not trying to add value. When we're just, our job is to, I don't know, it's not a good internal audit approach. When we are concerned about findings, we're concerned about showing it and maybe overstating it and so on. And we're isolated in that situation for sure. And we should and we must be isolated because we are not good. But it's not about reporting line for me. We need communication lines, absolutely, totally. We must obey, we must be aligned again with policies and all code of ethics and other, I don't know, procedures of the organization. Absolutely. Our strategy, our objectives must be aligned with organization's objectives, totally. Absolutely. And we must be controlled. Again, yes, there must be some control. I understand that audit committee cannot come and sit here and to check whether Aziz is at work or not. For sure, someone must do it. And there must be some structure that is not afraid of us and inform all needed parties about these wrongdoings. So control must be in place and communication lines. And our job must be in such a way that we are trying to make world better, organization better. And in that case, I think we will not be isolated and it's not about silence. But reporting line is just a reporting. You know, for me, reporting line means approvals and so on. I think that that approvals must be on the board side. And all other things, it's about management, it's about organization, totally.
I would concur that budget is probably going overboard or we don't have it fully defined. So overall budget for the IA function should be approved by the BOD because this is basically resources. But, you know, within the budget, whether we are, you know, we may have like, let's say, $3,000 budget for the particular business trip. Yes. And if we are, you know, overspending or spending the budget inappropriately, that is not compliant with the corporate policy. You know, BOD doesn't need to define that we cannot spend the budget on, you know, having some luxury goods, you know, during the business trip or having the meeting in the bar with the huge amount of spending with when we are on the business trip. So within this particular thing, I think CEO approval that what we present as expenses within budget is fully appropriate. So that the expenses we incur during the business trip are in compliance with the corporate policies on the type of spending that are allowed for the employees of the organization. Why not? So why not the CEO approval for that? But I say again, but also that we don't inflate the budget. So CEO may concur, may approve on their level that the budget we presented is not inflated. Artificially inflated. So it's providing us the opportunity to do our job, but the rest is up to BOD. So again, what is an approval? I guess we're getting back to the point when we are saying on the approval of the budget, what is in this approval? On what particular, because it's the same that when we are talking about, you know, legal department and they need the corporate requirement that they approve our policies and procedures because we have the corporate policy that legal, you know, has to agree. So again, with them, they approve that what we presented as a policy and procedure is compliant with the legislation. They don't approve of anything else, basically. It's again, not long-standing debate that we had. And I would put this in the parallel with the CEO. So we, if they approve the budget, what parameters of our budget are they approving? That it's not inflated, that the, you know, corporate acceptable costs are in this budget, but not the fact that we shouldn't have 10 business trips when we need 11. So again, limitations. We need to define the limitations of what is expected for approval. And in terms of the independence, okay, you know, I sometimes joke that we should be independent from the improper influence in the organization, but we shouldn't be independent from the common sense. We shouldn't put our independence to the point, to the extreme that we're getting. Because if we get back to the three lines model, we have the cooperation and support. The four of three lines of defense, we had the reporting. But in the current model, it's cooperation supported, two horizontal lines in there. So let's put it from this perspective. Let's look on the reporting from this perspective. So what type of reporting, administrative reporting to the management board, CEO, would allow us to provide them with the proper cooperation and support for their work? And I think this is a good channel to initiate all of the discussions on cooperation and support.
Okay, so you're okay with the CEO approving budget for regular expenses that are like business related, make sure that they're in compliance with company policy, but then you're not okay with them on the budget side, correct? Just
I say that their budget approval has to be specified. Yes. So basically, they're not approving overall budget, but within the budget, they're approving that the costs that went in this budget are not overboard, not inflated, and the costs themselves are in compliance with the corporate policy, so that we are not spending this budget on something that won't benefit organization or is just, you know, you don't get the budget for going to the Disneyland, basically.
Let's see you all or something, so someone else inform board that they go to Disneyland. That's it. I understand, well, it's not a preventive approach, but detective and informing and monitoring, maybe. But it's about internal auditing. Why not?
Preventive controls are always cheapest and more efficient. And I don't think that the board should be, you know, dealing with this crap.
I think the risk of our of influence on us is much higher than the not efficiency, not effectiveness of the detective controls here.
And Aziz, one more point, you know, why you are not treating the budget such as, you know, planning and the strategy of return audit. Discuss with the CEO, discuss with the management, but the final approval should be from the board or from the audit committee.
What is the support? overall budget, CEO shouldn't decide whether we need 10 or 11 business trips. It's the board level.
Yes.
That's, I fully support.
So if we go to some luxuries, I think management organization will see and just provide needed information. And there is no place for Aziz in that organization if he goes to some lectures. That's it.
All right. I think you guys may agree more than you realized. It might be just some semantics there on. And I think the great takeaway here from everyone is just defining exactly what is administrative reporting. And because that's the key here. So I really do appreciate you all being on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a great chat.